In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and it says that he came to his own city. And we know from the telling of this same event in the second chapter of St. Mark, which we read on the second Sunday of Great Lent, that this city that is being spoken of here is the city of Capernaum. It's the city that St. Peter is from, and it's Jesus' central base of operations as he is preaching in the area. And so he comes to what is called his own city, Jesus' city, where he stays. And there are a lot of people there who have faith in him, and they bring this man to Jesus. In the Gospel according to St. Mark, there is that part about how there are so many people, there is such a crowd, that they let the man down through the roof. They break through the roof and lower him down into Jesus' presence. And both in that Gospel and in this, Jesus says that he sees their faith. And because of their faith, now when it comes to their faith, we have to remember that this faith is something that isn't held simply by the man who is sick. It's held by those who bring the man. Faith, like our faith in our own spiritual lives in the church, our faith is strengthened by all of those that are also members of the body of Christ. We are at one with God through Christ, and we are at one with one another. Our faith is not a faith that we have in isolation, alone all by ourselves. We share the faith of the rest who love us and who love God. And that's this situation. Jesus recognizes the presence of this faith in all these people immediately. And he says, because of your faith. And then he turns to the man who is called sick of the palsy here, who is called simply the paralytic in the Gospel according to St. Mark. And he says, your sins are forgiven you in Mark. Here he says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. There's a more complete telling of what Jesus said at that time. So because of the faith of those who have come and brought this sick and paralyzed man to him, he forgives the sin of the man. Christ can't do anything as far as the forgiveness of sins is concerned without our participation. We have to come to him. We have to have faith in him. We have to believe in him in that kind of way, not with our minds, but with our hearts. We know that he can do this. Our faith is in him. It's just not a matter of believing that he can do this like we would believe in some kind of fact about the world. It's a matter of believing in him, recognizing him for who and what he is. It's not even something where we have to be able to say in our minds things like, oh, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the incarnate Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity become incarnate. These people don't know anything about that, but they see Jesus, the Christ, and their faith is in him. All of the other things that people don't know yet, that's not the content of their faith. Their faith is in Christ for himself. And so, on that basis, he turns to the man and he says, your sins are forgiven you. And he sees into the hearts also, not just seeing into the hearts of those who have brought the sick man and the heart of the man himself, but also he sees into the hearts of the scribes who know the scriptures very well. And he sees that they are offended by his saying that he can forgive sins. And he asks them, why do you argue in your hearts and be angry that I have said that this man's sins are forgiven? But to show you that I have the power to forgive sins. And then he turns to the man, he says, arise from your bed. And the man is able to stand up and walk and carry his bed away. And Jesus asks them, Which is greater, to be able to raise this man from his bed of sickness and to heal him, or to forgive sins? And it says in the end that afterward, all of the people marvel and they praise God that such power is given to men. Now, what power are they talking about? The power to raise the man from his bed, which is greater, to forgive sins. That's what the scribes were angry about, that he would say that he was able to forgive sins. These passages from Scripture that Matthew and Mark are telling us are about the forgiveness of sins, not about the physical miracle of raising the man from his bed of illness. It is about the forgiveness of sins and the identity of Christ. That's what these passages are about. God didn't come into the world in order to overcome death by a miracle. There is sickness and suffering and death in the world because of our having turned away from God. He has come into the world in order to deal with that. In order to deal with the presence of sickness and suffering and death in the world, what will he do? He won't go from one person to another and heal all of them individually. Now, he could do that, but it's not dealing with the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the presence of death in the world. That's what he's going to deal with. And in order to be able to deal with that, he dies on the cross, destroys the power of death, because he is God and cannot be overcome by death, but at the same time he is man, and so when he arises from the dead, he liberates our humanity from death, so that we don't have to be controlled by the presence and the infection of death in the world. Death infects everything. That's why there is sickness in the world. And you can't take care of the problem just by healing individual people. That's what these passages are about. When we think of ourselves in the world today, sickness and disease are still in the world. The root cause has been overcome, but people are still ill. We've learned a lot about how to deal as far as medical procedures. Hospitals are much better today than they were in the time of Christ. Some people are so confused about the message that is Christianity, the good news that is Christ, about how we don't have to be dominated by the power of sin and suffering and death in the world, but that there is salvation for us, a life lived at one with God. That's the message. But some people are confused and they think that the Christian faith is about healings, miraculous healings. You hear of this sort of thing. There are even some groups that have misunderstood the Christian teachings and refuse medical attention. They want God to heal them as he healed the paralytic. But he only healed the paralytic so that people would know that he had the power to forgive sins. That's what he says. God does not intend to heal all of our consequences of sin, which is disease and suffering, by dealing with them piecemeal and individually. There is disease in the world, and we are born ourselves in a broken condition with physical shortcomings, things that we have inherited from our parents, things of a physical nature, things of a psychological nature, things of an emotional nature, even spiritual maladies, spiritual forms of brokenness. These are in the world because of the fall away from God from the beginning. God has dealt with that by giving us the option of choosing him rather than the world and not being dominated by the presence of those things in the world. But there is still sickness and suffering in the world. Many of you know John or Jacques Nguyen.
We'll
probably see again sometime not that far off. He's in a wheelchair, has a wonderful family and many children. He has been in the hospital recently with problems that have been dealt with. But there's suffering involved. I mean, he spent more days in the hospital in bed, having infections dealt with and pneumonia that was related to it, on top of the rest of his illness. This man has had to deal with a great deal of physical suffering, and yet he is a man of faith. His faith is in God for his salvation. He doesn't expect of God that his physical ailment will be miraculously healed. He deals with this consequence of the fact that the world is radically broken by his faith in Christ. His suffering, his disease, becomes the content of his spiritual struggle. And it's the same for any of the rest of us. Whatever physical ailments we may have, whatever shortcomings that we may have when it comes to our ability to live life as we would prefer to live it, those things become things that we have to accept in humility and seek out what help there is in the world to deal with them and to engage them and to struggle with them. Now, it's a spiritual struggle because we do it with faith in God, but it still needs to be done. We still need to go to the doctor. We still need to go to those who know about whatever ailment or shortcoming or affliction it happens to be, whether it's a physical affliction or whether it's an affliction of the mind or whether it's an affliction of the spirit or of the will, where there are ways of dealing with it that are known. We can't be arrogant and false with God and say, no, I'm not going to go that route. Why can't God heal me and make me like everyone else? Well, none of us is like everyone else. We all are different. We all are individuals. We all have our individual, particular challenges that we have to deal with in life. We can only deal with them by dealing with them humbly, accepting them, and going through whatever we need to go through in terms of whatever is available in the world for us to be able to deal with them. And doing that becomes our spiritual path. We don't have ultimate faith in those who know the techniques to help us that will make it possible for us to live a spiritual life and to move closer to God. Our faith ultimately is in Christ himself. He is the one who has already overcome death. We know that we can win through, but we have got to engage in the struggle. And we can't fool God about this. We can't be arrogant and prideful and say, I refuse to do this because it ought to be taken care of. It ought to be wiped out by some miracle. God should take care of this in my particular case. He didn't do it in the case of all of these other people who are suffering and accept their suffering and make it the content of their spiritual lives. But in my case, it ought to be done. If that's our understanding, then God will know it. Jesus knows the mind and the heart of everyone. When the paralytic is brought to him, he sees into the hearts of those who bring the paralytic. He sees into the heart of the paralytic. He knows their faith. He sees into the heart of the scribes, and he knows that there is anger and condemnation in their hearts. And he speaks to their hearts. They haven't said anything. They haven't said a word. And yet he turns to them and he says, why do you reason this way in your heart? It's the same way with us. St. Cyprian of Carthage says that when we pray, God listens to our heart. He doesn't listen to the words that we say. He listens to our heart. Now, if those words and our heart are one, if we are praising God and standing in his presence, and the words that we say, the words of whatever prayer we are saying, that prayer comes from the heart, then that's one thing. But we can pray and have it not come from our heart. We can pray and still have those feelings of resentment and anger and frustration and feeling of why doesn't God take care of this? If that's the way we are in our hearts and we pray, then God knows that. God answers the prayer of the heart. And so when we come before God and we have whatever afflictions that we need to deal with, we need to be humble about those afflictions and accept them and come before God in humility and pray to Him for the healing of our lives, in the sense that we depend on ourselves and we depend on the soundness of our own bodies and the soundness of our own minds. Relying on ourselves, we need to give that up, that confidence and belief in ourselves. We can't stand before God and pray to Him to heal us so that we can stand more independently from Him. We need to accept whatever afflictions there are that we have in our lives humbly. They are the specifics of our spiritual life. But the thing that is the case for all of us is that God has overcome the power of death over us. Whatever our afflictions are, every one of them has to do with the infection of this world and ourselves by the presence of death in the world. Whatever those afflictions are, we need to know in our hearts and let God know that we have faith that He has overcome the presence of death in the world. And whether we are healed physically, emotionally, psychologically, or whether we have to continue to struggle through and avail ourselves of whatever worldly techniques there may be to deal with the specifics of that, our ultimate faith is that God has overcome death. And we are already able to participate in His victory. And so whatever our afflictions may be, we can have joy in the fact that they need not dominate our lives. They are the particulars that we need to deal with. God can see into our hearts, and He knows whether we love Him and whether our faith is in Him, or whether we only want Him to heal us so that we can live in the world independently of Him. We can't fool Him. We can fool ourselves. We can try to fool others, but we can't fool God. He heals the paralytic, but before He heals him, He forgives sins. We need to continue our spiritual lives faithfully and in the love and fear of God, and He will give us the strength and the ability to deal with whatever afflictions there are that are the particulars of our own spiritual lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.